Hi, this is Tiffany DeLass with PiratePods.com, and I'm on the phone with the globe-trotting activist Mona Purdy. Hi, Mona.
Hi there. How are you, Tiffany?
Fine, thank you. Now, you've started an organization called Share Your Souls, S-O-L-E-S. Can you give our listeners a little history of why and how you started this organization?
Sure. Well, our mission statement is sharing gently worn shoes with those around the world in tremendous need. 9 years ago, I was one of those, I hate to say shallow hells, but I was a shallow mom. I thought if my kids had all of the things that ensure they're going to be terrific, they're going to be great kids, you know, living in a neighborhood that we can't afford, right piano lessons, right piano teacher, right shoes, right haircut and everything. So I went on a trip to help a cycling team in Guatemala. So I left the safety of my home in the Midwest to go to Guatemala. I didn't even know where it was on the map. Mm-hmm. I truly did not. But I thought it sounded exciting, and I flew the products for the cycling team down there and ended up entering a local running race with my $100 pair of running shoes, which to me is not a blink of an eye. And then I saw people entering this race wearing old hiking boots with holes in the bottom, cardboard inserts, and something I would have heard my great-grandfather say, you know, we had to put cardboard in our shoes.
Mm-hmm.
And while we were running on this rock road, and it was a rock road in the middle of nowhere in a rainforest in Guatemala, the kids running the children's race prior to ours, I noticed they had no shoes on, but they had some black goo on the bottom of their feet. And I asked a fellow runner in my poor Spanish what it was, and he kept telling me it was the tar from the street. And I was like, tar? He goes, they put it on their feet because they don't have shoes to run on this road. And my mind could not stop thinking of my kids' feet. When I took my kids in bed at night, I kissed their ears. You know, you kiss their eyes, you kiss their ears, you kiss their feet. My kids' feet looked like jewelry. So when I got home, my youngest daughter, she was 7 at the time, I told my kids what I had seen, and it just blew my mind. Our kids here are blessed with so much, and seeing kids there with so little. She gave me my very first pair of shoes, and she said, when you go back, you can bring these shoes, and one of these kids could go to school, because I also did not know, Tiffany, kids cannot go to school without shoes in most third world countries.
Really?
A small injury to their foot can end up in amputation. It can end up in broken bones because the nutrition is so poor in these third world countries. Hitting a little rag soccer ball can actually break bones in their feet. And by the time they're late teens or 20s, they'll be crippled.
Wow.
So all these things blew my mind, and on my way home, I sat with an orthopedic surgeon who said, you know, keep bringing shoes down after I'd taken my first shipment, because, you know, my daughter gave me the first pair, so we collected a whole bunch, and when I left this orphanage, I said, oh, I'm not coming back. So he said, oh, you're the American that was down there giving out shoes. I said, yes, yes. And he said, well, you have to keep doing that. And I said, oh, no, I kind of did my thing, and, you know, I'm kind of good for a few years, you know. And he said that he wouldn't be going down there regularly, remove their feet. And I go, why? And he said injuries, and that's how they solve their medical problems down there.
Oh my gosh. And we should remind, since you said you didn't even know where you were going when you were in
Guatemala, I did not know where I was going.
And on Honduras, not everybody is great with their geography, but when you say third world countries, I mean, that's close to half.
I actually even call them fourth world. It's like now I can't use that line anymore. Kids can't go to school without shoes. I just returned from distributing with the team from the First Lady of Honduras 20,000 pairs of shoes to the mountain region of Lampita in Honduras. And
great.
Kids do go to school without shoes, and actually they don't have a school. The school is a tree or a shack, and there's benches underneath it, and I brought a bunch of crayons and coloring books. And I realized these kids did not know what crayons or coloring books were. And the teacher is a 18-year-old kid from another town, but they had gone to school for like 10 years. So this qualifies this person as a teacher. 60 kids under a tree, and none of them had shoes on. So of course we brought shoes, but I had a bad surgery on my hand a few years ago, and it's left my hand a little deformed, and I'm really self-conscious of it. Used to have beautiful hands. So I'm trying to teach this 12-year-old how to hold the crayons and color in the lines, because they had no idea how to color. They just thought these were magic sticks. They were making all these colors. So I kept telling him in my bad Spanish to take his left hand and hold the paper down. They didn't know how to even color on smooth surface. So I grabbed his arm to tell, you know, because he wasn't listening to me because he kept his hand behind his back. Tiffany, I grab his arm and I put it on the paper and I lay it down. I say, hold it with your hand. And I look, and on the end of his wrist is a foot.
What?
It was a foot. It was a little deformed foot with nails on it.
Oh.
So, you know, it's education. They don't have education. And something like that would be a surgery that would have been taken care of at birth.
Uh-huh.
But because 70%, if not more, of the population is utter poverty, we wouldn't see things like this.
Mm-hmm.
And it's common there. You see a lot of deformities that were simple surgeries here.
You mentioned you took 20,000 shoes down.
20,000 pairs. It's a 40-foot container, and the First Lady of Honduras gifted that to us to get shoes for her people. And we started what they call the First Ladies Club, where the first ladies of these different countries can sponsor the shipment and ensure the customs clearance and provide me with a crew that will safely distribute the shoes to the people that need them so they're not kept stolen or sold, which happens a lot.
Yeah.
And also so I could document and photograph the efforts of all of my volunteers that made that shipment possible. It takes us months to prepare that amount of shoes. We get thousands of shoes, thousands a week. But people really think that once we get the shoes, they're going to just go the way we get them and fly to another country and deliver themselves to someone in the mountains.
Mm-hmm.
Getting the shoes is step one of 10 steps. We get the shoes, we sort them, we have kids. We get between 300 and 400 volunteers come through our doors a week.
Wow.
30 states are now involved. But it's not about the shoes. It's about people coming together, Muslim, Hindu, Jew, Buddhist, Christian, for the greater good. And we get seniors that come in there and want to work with the kids. And I ask them why, and they go, well, my grandchildren live far away, or I miss my grandchildren. I get to be with kids. I get to teach. I get to help. And then a lot of kids come in, instead of being with someone like the Rockstar High School kids we have, they want to hang out with the seniors. And I ask them why. And they go, well, my grandparents passed away, or my grandparents live in Florida. So it's like a matchmaking thing. You know, you can help one another, or kids in a classroom. Instead of going to the zoo for the fourth time that year, they'll go to my facility and do community service work. And know they're doing something privately and quietly that will benefit someone else that they're never going to meet. And the place is in their heart, and that's our reward for them. And it's going like gangbusters, and we're getting clobbered with people wanting to help us, and it's wonderful.
Yeah. What's been your largest delivery of shoes? You said 20,000.
A 40-foot container is our largest one that we ship, and those are the ones that we prefer. American Airlines does assist me with getting me where I need to go,
mm-hmm.
but they do not ship for us anymore because I realize I always end up reaching in the box and giving out the last pair of shoes, and there'll be hundreds of people waiting in line.
Yeah.
Say I was in Haiti, and I reach into the box, and I pull out a pair of little girls' leather shoes for school, and I look, and it's all boys in line, and they'll fight over the shoes. And I have a 17-year-old, drop-dead, gorgeous, 6'2" son.
Mm-hmm.
If I ever said, son, put on a pair of mom's shoes and run up to the store and get me some milk, he would rather cut his eyes out with a knife. It would never happen. And kids there, they're desperate for shoes because actually it is protection. It's a lot of things for them, and especially self-esteem.
Yeah.
And when we give out the shoes, we don't hand them out. And ask me why.
Why?
Because choosing what you want to wear is a big part of self-esteem and about giving. You know, when you dole out things, people walk away and they might know they need them, but to have something that you want, it's a gift. And when we teach our kids here philanthropy, and that's what we try to do, that's why someone said to me, why don't we just go to a manufacturer, get all the shoes we need, and we won't have to bother with the kids. We do this for our kids so that we can teach them simple acts of kindness have a big reward. And also that when kids are called spoiled here in the U.S., that's a good thing. The poor cannot help the poor, but a privileged kid here in the U.S. can reach out and touch someone else's hands miles and miles away from home.
And what are some of the stories of your volunteers? Do you see other of your volunteers being inspired?
This is so funny. 9 years ago, when I started this out of my house, I don't need to do this. I'm a pretty good-looking woman. I had two little businesses, divorced happily, you know, three great kids. Well, my kids have actually turned out great from me turning out better. I became a better person. But I meet a lot of kids who, after I was written up in the paper as being Mona Purdy, you know, crazy lady, you know, strikes again. She's got more shoes out in her front yard, because I was operating this in my home in this upscale neighborhood. And kids used to come here after school and help Miss Purdy sort shoes, going to Guatemala, Honduras, Nicaragua, El Salvador, Kenya, you know, all over the world. And I call the parents drive-bys. They drive by and dump their kids and take off. So pretty soon my house got described as a public nuisance, and I was a public nuisance. My house was an eyesore, but the kids kept coming, the shoes kept coming, and we kept shipping them out and making a difference. Because it wasn't about the shoes getting to the kids elsewhere, it's about inspiring our kids here.
Mm-hmm.
But I get so many kids that come up to me and go, "Wow, I'm so glad you're called crazy, Mrs. Purdy, because I want to be an actor. And everyone's telling me I can't, but you know what? I want to be one." I'm like, if you believe it is, it's going to be. And or as kids will come, "I want to be a rock star." I'm like, "But you look like a rock star." "You know what? You are a rock star." And these kids walk away thinking, "I am a rock star." I'm like, "That's right, you are. You could be anything that you want to be." Because 10 years ago, honestly, if someone said I was going to be, you know, processing shoes that people give to me and begging and stealing money to fly them to kids that don't have a house or have watched their parents machete to death, tortured to death, or died of AIDS, I would have said, "You're absolutely crazy." And I love what I do, and I think when you live your love, you live your passion, you truly do make a difference. I think it's magnetic, and I really inspire a lot of kids to follow their dreams and their paths, no matter who else tells them they need to be on this road. I say, go left, young man, go left. If you want to go left on the path that's supposed to be right, you'll find your dream, and they do, and it's fantastic. Like last week, we had over 400 volunteers come through our doors.
Wow.
It's amazing. Out of my garage to a 400,000-square-foot facility, and it's fantastic. And then I try to photograph and tell stories to the kids of where their efforts went so they have an emotional involvement with why we do this.
You mentioned a few of the details, and just in case there's some people that are listening and want to get involved, you mentioned it's nationwide in 30 states.
Yes,
so
30 states participate in giving us shoes and doing fundraising, which we are desperate for, because, again, to put a 40-foot container together with 20,000 pairs of shoes can cost us anywhere up to $20,000 to $30,000
to
buying
send
the boxes, washing the shoes, polishing,
okay,
all that. So we need desperately supplies, and we need monetary donations. Our website is www.shareyoursouls, SOLES.
Mm-hmm.
Phone number is 708-448-4469.
So you're really looking, you have enough volunteers, you really need people to help you start fundraising.
And you know what, having all these volunteers to keep them with supplies and materials to do projects that will benefit someone else, we need to keep the kids, our youth here involved in doing service for others. Because if they learn it now, if they get it now, what real success is, it's what you can do for someone else. That's what success is. So if we could teach them that while they're young, they're going to grow up and be kinder, more empathetic adults, we hope.
Yeah. And you also mentioned the First Ladies Club. Now, did
right.
you start
the First
that?
Lady of Honduras, we started that, and the First Lady of Honduras is our first lady. And we've invited the other three from Central America that we want to work with: Guatemala, El Salvador, Nicaragua.
Okay.
And hopefully we'll be getting shoes to their countries as well.
And you said you've also gone to Haiti, and what other
countries? I go to Haiti. We ship to Haiti about 3 times a year.
Mm-hmm.
And that's probably one of the saddest places I've ever been. The need is tremendous. You know, you see kids with worms, you see them with so many things, but a lot of it is they don't have education and know how to eat, what to eat, how to protect themselves. And malaria is rampant in some of these places.
Mm-hmm.
You know, simple things that we're supposed to know about. We know about them, but they don't know yet.
Yeah. Is there a world's record for most shoes delivered to somebody or someplace?
You know what? Since I began the concept, I actually brainstormed this whole grassroots thing of shoes. I'm the founder of the concept. A lot have jumped on it. We kind of go by the way we do it, not so much how many shoes got to people, but we have a record of over 400,000 have been hand-distributed.
Wow.
Because we do let the people choose,
mm-hmm.
and we package the shoes specifically for the need of the locations that the shoes are going to. Like, I don't send high heels to Haiti. They don't have roads. Mm-hmm. I don't send winter boots to Jamaica. We're very specific to where we go and why we go there.
And is this adult shoes and children's shoes?
Adults and children's. And then people ask me, well, why don't I take volunteers from the U.S.? Well, Tiffany, I don't know how well you know the roads and the mountains in Haiti or in Honduras, where I just got back from, but I usually hire locals. Mm-hmm. $2 to $3 a day is what they make to feed a family of five. And if I pay them a day's wage and I pay them for their truck and they take me around, how cool is that for someone who's never been able to do for anyone else? For the first time in their life, they get to help someone give shoes away to their own community. It raises their bar bigger than you can imagine.
Yeah, and I just want to double check. You don't want new shoes. You only want gently used.
We take new and gently worn. Oh, used. Absolutely, okay. We do. Some of the problems with new shoes I have seen is the desperation for a dollar, and they will actually hurt someone else to take the shoes to sell them. Whereas if I know my kids have been raised in only the best shoes that I can afford for them, which is the best. Like I couldn't. This is a shallow hell story. I couldn't wait for my son's feet to grow to buy him Doc Martens. Is that a typical American nitwit who doesn't know any better? That would be me. So I love when I give a pair of Doc Martens to a kid who's never had a pair of shoes on his feet. Yeah. It's fantastic. And then in Honduras, we gave a couple of the old-timers their first pair of shoes. So like old, not beat-up orthopods, but orthopedic shoes that like seniors wear, gently worn, because you do not respect the dignity of someone in a third-world country giving them a beat-up pair of shoes. But this is typical. A lot of shoes we get donated, people will mow the yard with them for a summer and think, wow, should I give these shoes to Mona Purdy or should I throw them out? And they think, oh, I'm going to give them to her because they're pretty beat up, but something is better than nothing to a person that doesn't have anything. It's not true. It's about respecting yourself. And I tell a lot of people, we don't just give to people that are poor. When Malibu had all of its fires, we shipped a bunch of shoes there, and I got a lot of flack from people. They said, well, they're so rich. No. When your house is on fire and you're only wearing a sheet, shoes are good. So we do not discriminate who gets the shoes. If they need them, we have them, they get them. And it's been working fantastic.
Great. So you also are giving away shoes in the United States.
Absolutely.
You?
We give, I do a lot of Indian reservations. Lower income families that have just had, bad luck. Mm-hmm. And but what my job here is inspiring philanthropy to our youth here, and I think that's where my part of giving out in the U.S. is, keeping our doors open for kids from so many states. We get them from all over, coming in and learning what real philanthropy and service to humanity is all about. And then we show them DVDs of where I've been, and they really have an emotional connection to kids that live in little shacks or have never had slept on a bed. They have, they use actually the boxes I ship the shoes in. We'll flatten them out and that will be a bed.
Wow. Well, thank you, Mona, for all that you do and your work. It's a perfect example of how doing the simplest thing or coming up with the simplest idea is making such a huge difference, not just in the people's lives that's receiving the shoes, but all the people that are getting to help you in this project. It's very inspiring.
Exactly.
And just wonderful.
Hey, we have the San Diego community involved, too.
I need
to mention to you. We get a lot of shoes mailed to us from the West Coast and from the East Coast. So I'm really happy with California these days.
Yeah, we'll all have to check out your fundraising events and see if we can help participate in that.
Fantastic. I believe the next one will be in Carlsbad or Rancho Santa Fe, and we're going to try to have it at the same time early spring next year.
Oh, great. Thank you. And we're Pirate Pods, and we'd like to end our podcast with a pirate R or a pirate joke of some sort.
Is that what I say?
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Thank you, Mona.
Thank you for having me, Tiffany. You have a great day.
You too.